morning. Welcome, everybody. First, like to offer my hakara shatov on behalf of the Adult Education Committee, on behalf of Beth Abraham, to the wonderful organization Yad La'achim for bringing Rabbi Wein to grace us with his words today. Yad La'achim is the major anti-missionary organization in Eretz Yisrael. We'll hear a little more about it later. And I have a lot of hakara shatov for them. Rabbi Wein, I consider many of us his talmidim, whether we were in his yeshiva or mispalim in his shul, or whether we've heard his many tapes and read his books. And it's a great honor for Rabbi Wein to grace us with his words.
I think the last time that I spoke in Bergenfield was 7 or 8 years ago. And a lot has happened since. Your community has grown. It's a real Malkum Torah. Very encouraging. There's a story told about a man who came to see a specialist. And he walked in the door and he asked the receptionist, how much is the fee? And the receptionist said, well, the first visit is $1,000, but every visit thereafter is $250. And the man said to her, well, here I am again. So here I am again. I mean, the ultimate retort to that is that he saw the doctor, and he said, and the doctor examined him, he said, what should I do now, doctor? He said, just what I told you before. In the parshas of the Torah that we read now, from Chumash Shmos till the end, the main figure is naturally Moshe Rabbeinu, our great teacher, to a certain extent, really the founder of the Jewish people. The Midrashim are interested in why he was called Moshe. So we know he's called Moshe because it says in the Torah that the daughter of the Pharaoh gave him the name, Ki min ha-mayim ishisihu. I drew him forth from the waters. Devin Ezra and others say that Moshe is really an Egyptian name. It comes into Hebrew only because of its Egyptian origin. And the Mefarshim all discuss when Moshe was given Hebrew names. At the Bris, his father Amram, Moshe had seven names. Tovia, Yered, Avigdor, beautiful names. So why does the Lord use his Egyptian name? You know, and Eric, Jeffrey, well, God is not from. Calls him Moshe. And the Chumash describes for us the beginning of the career of Moshe. Like every good Jewish young man, he's working for his father-in-law. He takes his father-in-law's sheep, goes into the desert, and he sees there a bush is burning. And the bush is never consumed. The Kotzker Rebbe says in his inimitable fashion that everybody saw that bush. It wasn't an apparition that occurred to Moshe alone. Everybody saw it. And everybody said, you know, isn't that interesting? Look at that bush, it's burning. It was burning yesterday too. It was burning 10 days ago. Still burning. But everybody is busy. They have carpool, to go shopping, they have things to do. So therefore, the fact that there's a burning bush and that the bush is not consumed doesn't really register. They don't, so to speak, get it. Moshe says, and this is the beginning of his career, this is what makes Moshe Moshe. Osuranova eres amare agodo lazeh madua lo yivarasne. I'm going to stop. I'm interested to know madua lo yivarasne. Why does it not burn away? So it says in the Chumash, Vayar Hashem kisor liros. God saw that somebody stopped. Somebody turned away from his everyday concerns and stopped to look at the broad picture. Out of that flame, a malach speaks to him. And he calls him, Moshe, Moshe, come. I've got a job for you. You're going to have a career change. Moshe doesn't want the new job. Logically, he's 100% correct. Who wants to head the Jewish people? I've been a rabbi about a half a century. I started when I was 3. You know, so the Jewish people are a tough people. I had this, somebody called me up once, 1 a.m, on a rather unimportant matter. And he said to me, I guess he heard that my voice was a little groggy. He said to me, you know, he said, I didn't want to call you in the office. They're nudniks. Tough people, tachonim, balei machlokes. So Moshe doesn't want it. Moshe wants to develop his own spirituality on his own. The moment you take on the mantle of leadership, you are sacrificing yourself. The Ribbono Shel Olam is very stubborn with him. He says, no, I want you to go. But Moshe says, I'm not a speaker. I'm not the one. I haven't been with the Jewish people for a long period of time. I lived in Africa. What do you want from me? And the Lord insists. Moshe finally says, listen, shlach noviyat tishlach. Send somebody else. You know, shortage of people. I have a brother, Aaron. Send. Shlach nabiyat tishlach. There, Kaviyochel, Rebbe Shalom becomes angry at him. So the Mefarshim explain that that's why God called him by his name, Moshe, Moshe. Ki min amayim mishisiyu. Moshe, I took you out of the mouth of the crocodile. I saved you from the Nile. Don't tell me, shlach noviyat tishlach, send somebody else. Ki lekach notzorta. I saved you for this moment, for this mission. Therefore, your name is Moshe. That's what you're created for. And that's how Moshe becomes Moshe. For all eternity. in the Yad Vashem Memorial Museum in Yerushalayim, there is a children's museum that was dedicated by a family from Beverly Hills who, in the Holocaust, the father and the mother survived, but their five-year-old child did not. So many of you may have been there, but the designer of this museum did it with genius, I would say almost divine inspiration. You walk into a room, an enormous room, maybe 4 or 5 stories tall. So when you walk in the room, it's pitch black. It is so dark that you cannot put one foot in front of the other without holding on to the handrail. But after your eyes, after a few moments, become accustomed to the darkness, in the middle of the room, there's a candle that's burning. One candle. And through, again, the genius of the designer, through water and through mirrors and through metal, you look around now, you see there are a million little pinpricks of light floating in this great sea of darkness. And there's a voiceover, a tape that plays. And it does nothing but recite names. Chaim Greenberg, 3 years old, Warsaw. Hannah Goldberg, 8 years old, Sarajevo. Names, 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 until literally you can bear it no longer. I was in Yerushalayim the day that the museum opened, and I know the family. In fact, there's a relative here. And I wanted to see, you know, I saw the ad in the newspaper that it's opening today. I went to see it, and I was so overcome, I literally ran from the room out into the blinding Jerusalem sunlight. And for the first time, I thought to myself, you know, my name is not on the tape. I'm of the age. They meant me too. But my name is not on the tape. So if my name is not on the tape, then I have a purpose. Ki min ha-mayim mishisiyu. None of our names are on the tape. We're the most blessed generation in centuries in Jewish life. The Ponovitz Yerov told me, I once discussed with him our generation. So he said to me that if, God forbid, parents have a child that's ill and requires extensive hospitalization, and then, thank God, the child starts to recover, and he's sent home. So what do the parents do? They spoil the child green. You want ice cream? Here's ice cream. You want toys? Here's toys. You know, you want this computer game, you know, whatever you want. Because of the compensation, almost the gratitude that the child's alive. So he said, after the Shoah, the Rabbeinu Sholem has spoiled us. He gave us a state. He gave us the ability to live in the land of Israel. Our forebearers would have walked across Europe barefoot in the snow to see any Jewish state in the land of Israel. He told me on Yom HaTzmaut, the Ponovitz Yeshiva flies the Israeli flag in Bnei Brak. It's one of the rare things that occur there. Because a large section of the Jewish people still don't get it. So he said the moral squad came to visit him. And they said to him, you know, B'nai Brak, and your father flying the flag in the Yom Ha'atzmaut. So he said to me, Rabbi Vine, do you know what I answered them? I said, no, Rabbi, I can't imagine. So I answered them simply. He said, in Ponevision, Lithuania, on Lithuanian Independence Day, I flew the Lithuanian flag from the flagpole of the yeshiva. He said it to me in Yiddish. I told them, do is nit erger. It's not worse here. It's not worse. It's a lot better. But if you don't know what happened in Lithuania, you know, if you think everything starts right now, so there's no perspective. So he said the Lord spoiled us. And he gave us America. And never been an exile like America. Never. And we've never been as affluent as we are. We've never had the institutions of learning across the spectrum of the Jewish world. So there's a reason. Kimiramayim Ishisiyu. I pulled you out of the water. Now show me what you can do. I've given you all the tools. So we in Israel are struggling to make the state work somehow. And Baruch Hashem, it does work in spite of all of our leaders, almost in spite of ourselves. And there's a tremendous amount of Torah in Eretz Yisrael also in spite of ourselves. If we had to market soap the way we market Torah, the company would go under immediately. But the Torah sells itself because the Jewish people like it. They love it. I have a television program in Israel. I'm on three times a week, prime time. 1 a.m, I think 7 a.m. But I'm on three times a week. I have the program's Ask the Rabbi. It's a discussion of issues. It's a half-hour program every time, and it's in English. So it has Allah Milas for Israel, right? Couldn't be better. I'm amazed. Wherever I go in Eretz Yisrael, people stop me, and the most unlikely to, the steward on El Al stopped me, and he said, Ra'iti otcha ba'televizya, yafe me'od. He didn't upgrade me, but he said, but he was nice about it. So we took a secure, you know, of a survey. The program reached 72,000 homes last year. You talk about 150,000 Jews. Why in the world should anyone want to hear an American rabbi talk about Torah in English? Unless they want to learn how to speak English with a Chicago accent. But otherwise, because there's a tremendous tzimaon, there's a tremendous thirst for Torah. People want to be Jewish. Because the world has proved to us that's the only thing that's left. We can't be communist anymore. Stalin cured us. And the rest of the world is curing us of being post-Zionist. All the other ideas all are in shambles. Ein lanu shiur ela Torah hazos, Chazal said, that's what they meant. After you pursue everything in the world, you're going to be left with nothing. Because they don't want us, and they don't like us. And that's just the way it is. Zeh mashiyesh. So we're all here for a purpose. When I was No, that's quite a number of years ago. The end of 1946, the beginning of 1947. The Jewish world is in absolute shambles. The Holocaust has just occurred, and it's just dawning on us what happened. The British are still controlling the land of Israel. It's the blackest hour imaginable. 100,000 Jews in Cyprus, in detention camps. The seven Arab countries have declared that they're going to wipe us off the map. See, you know, we're down now to only one country. So we made progress. Rav Herzog, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, the chief rabbi of then Palestine, I remember when we were the Palestinians, you know, I went to public school discussing Mr. Holler, go back to Palestine. So they stole that from us too. Rav Herzog comes to Chicago. So I remember my father, a blessed memory, who woke me up early in the morning, and he said, even before my bar mitzvah, he says, come, we're going to go to the airport. All the rabbonim are going to welcome Rabbi Herzog. I remember it vividly. It was the first time in my life I was in an airport. The first time in my life I saw a plane up close. And Rabbi Herzog came down the stairs with his great white silvery beard and the top hat and the Tanakh in one hand and his rabbinic cane in the other hand. Absolute royalty, aristocracy. And we all drove to the yeshiva, and he said a shir in Gemara in the yeshiva. I don't remember the chidushim that he said, but I remember the Indian. He spoke about Ein Shliach L'Tavera, and Tesis there in Bamatzia, in Yiddish. All the rabbonim in town were there. And there were 250 young men there, from the age of 10 to 25. That was the yeshiva. When he finished speaking, he then said, I want to say a few words to you in English. I want to speak to the young people. And I remember that too, because he had this great Irish brogue. He was the Rav in Dublin. And to hear that Irish accent come out of his great beard was like a little incongruous to me. And he said as follows. I'm coming now from the Pope of Rome, he said. I had an audience with the Pope, with Pius XII. I gave him a list with 10,000 names of Jewish children who were hidden in Catholic institutions in World War II in order to escape from the Germans. He said there were many more thousands, but I didn't have their names. But here we were able to compile a list of 10,000 names. And I gave the Pope the list. And I said to him, please give me back the children. And he said to me he could not do so because, he said, all of them have been baptized in the Catholic faith. And anyone who has been baptized in the Catholic faith cannot be given over to be raised now in another faith. And after he said that, he put his head down on the lectern and he wept. Not just wept. I've never again seen a person weep like that. The whole Shoah poured out of him, the whole 2,000 years of exile poured. And everyone wept. There was a sea of tears. And then he raised himself like a lion. He looked around the room at all of us, and he said, I can't do anything for the 10,000 children. He said, but what are you going to do for the Jewish people? What are you going to do to help us rebuild? And later, when each of us went to him to shake his hand and receive a blessing, he said to each of us, do you remember what I said? Remember what I said. So again, there are days when, you know, I'd sell you the whole thing for a nickel and give you change. But I always hear Rav Herzog in my ears. I've heard him for 50 years, 60 years now. All of us should hear him. All of us should realize that we're saved for a purpose. And each and every one of us in our own way, and in our own way of life, and in our own profession, and with our own personality, have the duty to rebuild the Jewish people, to save other Jews physically and spiritually, to raise a generation of Jews. The Lord has blessed us with a generation that was unimaginable. With Meir Shapiro in his wildest dreams never dreamt that the Daf Hayomi would have the popularity that it has today. Whether we agree with all the policies or not, alo dovor hu. In 1953, my father and I were in Lakewood, and my father knew Reb Aaron Zecher Tzadik Levracha from Europe yet, and he wanted to see him and speak to him. So then Lakewood had 27 students. So my father said, how many students does the Rosh Yeshiva think he's going to have? Reb Aaron said, maybe 100. I don't know how many thousands it has today. The Mir Yeshiva in Lithuania had at its height 350 Talmidim. That's close to 5,000 today. I'm not talking about quality, but just the numbers alone are mind-boggling. Because it's the opportunity to rebuild the Jewish people. To rebuild it in a healthier way because of the fact that we've been purged of so many things that have destroyed us in the past. So I want to bless each and every one of you that you should have good health and happiness and nachas from your children, true Jewish nachas, to raise generations of Torah. There are Jews in Israel that are held captive. Captive by missionaries, captive by Arabs, who made bad mistakes. And the government can't do much about it because of political reasons. There's a great Mormon college built in Jerusalem whose sole purpose is to train missionaries. So why did we let it happen? We have to let it happen because the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee was Orrin Hatch, who was an elder in the Mormon church, and he held Israel hostage for his college. So no one can say that publicly except Rabbi Wein. But what do you want from the government? There's no other place in the world where you can buy F-21 fighter planes. It's a very complicated world. So there are niche organizations in the land of Israel that do what has to be done because no one else can do it. And Yad Lachim is one of them, if not the main one and the oldest one. It saved hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Jewish children and adults and families from missionaries, from living in the Arab countries, and Jewish women that unfortunately married Arabs, many of them on the premise that they were marrying a Jew, and then they end up in Ramallah. So that's one of the things that we can do to help rebuild the Jewish people. Every Jewish soul is important to us. We're so small in number. Ki atem amat mikol ha'amim. So we cannot afford to lose gratuitously the Jewish souls and Jewish children. So I want to thank you all for coming this morning. It's a pleasure for me, at least, to hear me speak. There's a famous incident. Rabbi Saul Salanter said that it pays for a Jew to travel half the world, to come to a small Beis Medrash, and to say a few words of Chizuk and Torah between Mincha Ma'ariv, so that one Jew will daven Ma'ariv better, even if the one Jew is the speaker himself. So maybe I should have spoken before Shacharis, but in any event, I think that we all understand what is involved here. I want to thank you for your attendance this morning. There are so many of you that I know from my previous life here in the United States. I invite you all to come to see us in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael to really appreciate what we have, and we'll be zochet together to good news and to Nachama Siyun of Inyan Yerushalayim. Thank you.
One more second. On behalf of Yad Vashem, we want to thank the committee of the shul and for giving us the opportunity for this event, and all of you for participating in this, and thanks for Rabbi Reinkel for coming to speak to us. And whoever doesn't have the had it for COD, because you have envelopes here, take credit cards. Rabbi Hilberger, you're here, maybe since she was right here in the back. Check the table for Yad Vashem. Especially want to thank for Reuven Eskot, who he is the one who organized this morning. His son is a nishter, but he is the one who did it. So we all thank him for organizing this. Thanks a lot, everyone. Don't run away, take an envelope. Don't forget this is a model. We have to bench. The Tibo, we have one for the king.
Thank you.